I like how much comfier we're getting.
I know. We're too comfy, though. It's becoming a little dangerous because starting this episode took us a while.
Yeah, we just kind of laid down for a bit.
Uh-huh. And I was so close to hitting REM, guys. I was really, really fucking close.
Honestly, why don't we? Why isn't there an episode where we just are asleep?
That's weird.
How much of us do they see? Does it cut off, like, right here?
I don't know.
Because I don't want them to see our legs.
They probably can see our legs.
For free? For free?
Yes, sorry.
No. That's not right. Okay. How do you feel about bad bitches?
I love bad bitches. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about the female rage?
I love female rage mostly when it comes from bad bitches. Dude, you know me. I'm always angry. Hulk who? No.
I thought it was funny how when you were going to start this book, mm-hmm. Well, I think you were going to start it once and then you didn't start it. You were like, I want to start it, but I don't want to be angry. You just weren't in the mindset yet.
No, I was not. Because the way that it started made it seem like I was going to be angry at men. And it takes so much energy out of me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just one girl. I'm just one 2 feet tall girl.
2 feet tall. You're so small.
I'm so small. Put me in your pocket. I'm so small. I do want to say, well, actually, you could say it. We didn't buy this book.
Oh, my God. No, we didn't. And I wish we had it. Here, insert a picture right here of when I first received this book.
Okay.
I was so fucking excited because I was emailed by someone from Penguin House Publishing.
Yeah.
Shout out to this person. Hold on. I want to get her name.
You think she watches this? Do you think that's how she knew?
Her name was Olivia. Shout out to her. So she had emailed us and was like, hey, The Invocations by Crystal Sutherland is on sale next week, 1:30. That's how long we've had this book, mm-hmm. January 30th. I would like to send you a finished copy. And so this book was basically sent to us. But the thing is that Olivia didn't have any expectations. She didn't say, hey, praise this book. Please review this book. Nothing at all. She just wanted to send us this book for free. So,
that's
the
first time that's ever happened to us. That's crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, the first time that it's like someone being like, here.
I guess offering it to us. Yes, it is the first time. Which was crazy because I had heard about Crystal Sutherland because of their other popular book, House of Hollow.
Yep.
Which we haven't read. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this book. I was a little bit anxious, but I did really love the cover.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a Crystal Sutherland book. But do you think this book might be able to fix your life?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the Book Fix Podcast. We are a podcast that fixes lives one book at a time. I'm your host, Chelly.
And I'm your host, Yehida.
Wait, let me fix myself because it feels weird that my feet are like right there. I don't want to give them a show. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Crystal Sutherland's new book, The Invocations. It's not that new anymore, mm-hmm. but it is a one-off book about witches and bitches.
Witches that just get a little bit feckin' angry.
Dude, oh my gosh. So you read it before I did. Mm-hmm. I borrowed, because we only got one copy. I borrowed that copy and wrote in it. I wish I had it. It was my sister who saw the cover and was also like, ooh, looks good.
Looks interesting. It's for me, right?
Yeah, how dare she?
Yeah, but it's fine. I think I remember enough of what happened in the book.
I do too. I feel like this book is very our type of humor.
Yeah.
Didn't it feel like it felt very handpicked for us? Mm-hmm. So I was, it took me a while to get into it because I didn't know what to expect. I was going in blind. Mm-hmm. But damn, why don't you start off explaining it?
So if I remember correctly, it's been a minute. So I would say go read the book, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do my best. Okay. So it starts off with a prologue. And in the prologue, we're following this girl who I think she's she's walking home and I believe it's Halloween. And she's kind of like, fuck, the vibes are fucking off tonight. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that she's being followed. And so she's like frantic. She's just like running around trying to get home ASAP.
Yeah.
And when you think she escaped, this like entity thing, whatever it fucking is, it kind of looks like a shadow, just gets to whatever place she's in before her, which was so fucking scary. I really didn't know what the hell we were getting ourselves into.
Yeah.
And this character dies. And the first chapter, we follow Ymir.
Yes.
Ymir Bryn. And she is just a young girl, a young witch. But they're not called witch. They're called curse writers, I think. Yes. Just fucking trying to survive in this school. And I thought it was so funny because Ymir immediately was that character who just didn't give a fuck. She was just like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. She wanted to blend in completely, that she didn't want anyone to even notice her. Yeah. But I feel like her, it would be hard not to notice her.
Was she the one that bathed in her clothes?
Oh, yes.
I didn't get why she would do that.
I didn't get it either. So she would go to the gym a lot because she would work out. And I believe she would bathe in her gym clothes. I don't really get it, to be honest. And I don't really think she had a place to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Like, she would just kind of have to, like, manage in this university campus. And we learned that she writes spells for women. And it's just like a variety of them. And she is a very important character because she is being sought out by our two other main characters.
So our second main character, her name is Jude.
Jude Wolf.
And Jude Wolf comes from a very, very rich family. Mm-hmm. But she, when she was young, thought it would be really funny to just kind of fuck around with the occult. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, things that she didn't understand.
And so she basically accidentally latched. First, it was one demon to her.
Because she tried writing a spell on herself and she said the incantation incorrectly.
Yes. So when you latch a demon onto you, a part of your skin is kind of like, it's basically the part that is the link between you and the demon. Mm-hmm. So she had messed up three times. So she actually had three demons latched onto her. Mm-hmm. And all of the parts where the demons were latched onto, I think one of them was on her thigh. It was just rotted flesh. And it explained that it had like a sulfuric smell to it.
Dude, this girl was going through it.
She was really going through it. But also, she was completely vibes. Because she was going through it, but she was like,
I still look hot though.
Like, she would say that at night, the demons would possess her and just destroy her house. And she took it with stride and every morning would clean her house.
But it's like, even her house was suffering. Like, the shit was like molded. And yeah. it was crazy to me because Jude really was just bored. That's why she got herself into this mess. And I think the marks on her leg, wasn't that like the actual curse?
Yes.
That was written. Like, I don't know if it was written or if it was like an actual like image of something. But damn, the gore. Or like, I guess.
It was crazy.
Yeah, the gory description of how rotted her flesh was unexpected. But I guess I appreciated it because I felt like, okay, I can see that this isn't something to romanticize.
Yes. She also was placed in a house away from her brothers and her dad because the dad is rich and didn't want there to be like bad rumors about her daughter like starting drugs because she looked really skinny.
No, he,
or did he start the drug rumor?
He started the drug rumor. He would tell everyone because they're really famous and people were asking him, where the fuck is Jude? So his solution was, oh, this girl, she's starting drugs. And so he would tell people, oh, she's in rehab right now, but she's good though.
She also had, because her brothers, the way they were described is there were five brothers. Four of them were called the four henchmen because they're exactly like the father, so heartless and everything, except for one whose name was Adam that was about to adopt her. But either than that, they're all just very work driven, don't really care about family. And then the youngest brother was Elijah, and he did not have the same parents, like did not have the same dad, I think, but the same, no.
He didn't have the same mom.
Yes.
Same dad, though.
But he was the only one that really had a relationship with
Jude. They were the closest to each other.
I really liked him.
Yeah, so did I. Because I thought he was really funny. Like, he just kind of gave me the vibe of, yeah, he's rich, but he's, like, kind of one of us. Like, he's, like, funny, you know?
Yep.
And he would also make jokes to her about the way that she looked, because she was like, damn girl, and it looking rough.
There was like a point where she was healing after everything that had happened, and he was just sending her the worst books ever written, and like, right, that was her. Was that her? Or was that Emer? Am I getting it confused? No, that was Jude.
He was sending her.
Yeah, sending Jude like the worst books ever written, the worst foods ever. I think he had sent her like these wafers because it was just like, here's all this subpar stuff so you can get through it.
Yeah.
And sent Jude like a conversion therapy book.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jude is our second. So the point, she wants to find Emer because she wants these curses to be removed from her.
Mm-hmm.
That's her motivation. And then we have a third main character whose name is Zara. Yeah, so Zara is actually the sister of the girl who was in the prologue, who was being chased and then was killed. She just wants to get justice for her sister. She's someone who is very bright, very scientific, had a bright future ahead of her. But ever since losing her sister, she's just kind of focused all of her attention on finding her. Not finding her, but finding what happened to her. Mm-hmm. What was she hiding? And then also, like, maybe bringing her back, kind of.
It's so sad because when you first are introduced to Zara, she's in the principal's office, and the principal's just like, the police wanted us to know that you were stealing books about necromancy.
Oh, yeah.
And then instead of getting her in trouble, is just kind of like, we're here for you. You know that, right? Here's my personal cell number. I know I'm a principal, but I want to be here for you whenever you need me.
Which was so like refreshing that someone was actually reaching out to her and seemed like they cared about her. Because the principal also told her there's only so many chances that you can get in life. You know, I know that your sister is dead, but you have to keep living, you know? Yep. Like, keep pushing on, basically. Mm-hmm. And she felt bad because she was so bright. She was one of her brightest students. And so, yeah, so that's Zara's motivation, is to bring back her sister.
Yep. So, such unlikely characters. Mm-hmm. They're so different from each other, but they all come together at different times. So, the first two that meet is Jude and Zara. Mm-hmm. And they meet because
they had the same connection, which was a police officer, I believe.
Yeah.
Or some sort of detective. I don't remember exactly. But this detective called both of them in because they found a body of someone who died in a very weird way. Mm-hmm. And this detective was kind of just like, you know what? I don't know what the hell is going on. And I'm just going to, I think she was connected first to Jude.
Yes.
I don't remember who exactly, but basically just like she just trusted something different, right? Like she wanted to figure out if there was another thing out there that could explain these weird deaths. And so both Jude and Zara show up and they're both like, what the hell? What are you doing here? Yeah. Who is this? You know? And I thought it was funny because Jude immediately is very flirty. So she's like,
love Jude.
Yeah, same. So Jude's like, hey. So what are you doing later?
But then as soon as the detective came out, was like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, she started flirting with the detective, which was so funny. But yeah, so they're just kind of following this trail of blood of bodies. And eventually it leads to Emer.
Yes. So, okay. I was so here by this point. When all these three girls met and there was that unspoken with like, okay, Emer has to help Jude get rid of her curses.
Well, first Emer was very like, I can't help you with that. Sorry. And they kind of had this like enemies vibe because she thought that Zara was nicer to be around. So she was kind of like, you know what, Jude, you could just leave. Just go.
It was so funny, though, because Jude was like, I came this far. I offered you, like, I think it was, like, $4 million. It was, like, a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like, I offered you all this. You know what? Why don't I help you? Because all Zara wanted was her sister back.
Well, they didn't know that. They didn't know that she wanted to bring her back, remember?
Oh, yeah.
She just told them, oh, I just want to find out who killed her.
Yes.
The whole bringing her back was just, like a secret plan of hers.
But, at this point, after seeing that body, they figure out that for some reason, all these women that are being killed in weird ways are all women that Emer has given a spell to,
mm-hmm.
has written a spell for. And so,
and that's why she decides to help, because she realizes that it's all linked to her.
I thought it was so funny that Jude was like, why don't we check here? Damn, you see me being a detective already? Like, damn.
Y'all. Like, she fucking didn't do anything yet. She's like, damn, I'm really solving this case, guys.
Dude, I really liked Emer and Jude a lot, because very early on, they have very like small intimate moments. Like, I don't know if you remember the first night that all three girls spent together at Jude's house. Jude is like screaming and super weak and everything. And Emer's like, it's because you're not offering your demons like any of your blood. They're hurting you because they're hungry. And so she cuts Jude and is like, okay, everyone drink up. And they all drink out of her arm. And she said that was like one of the most comfortable sleeps that she had ever had.
Yeah, didn't they sleep together too in the same bed?
Yeah.
It's so funny because I remember thinking like, damn, this house looks rotted. This house is falling apart.
And it's funny because in that same chapter, when they had first arrived to her house, Zara was like, oh my gosh, there's so many occult books. Yeah. And she pulls out necromancy and it's completely rotted. And she was like, how did this happen? And Jude was like, yeah, that's me. Literally, like, anything I walk around will just rot. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, and then Emer also has demons attached to her.
She has one. Ball?
I thought she had multiple, but it was just, like, Ball, who was her bestie.
Ball was her main one, her main bitch.
Yeah, the but main one.
All of the other ones are because of the curses that she writes, I think. But I don't know. I know that Ball was the main one, and she kind of formed a connection with him. So she was like, yeah, this is my boy. He's my boy, my big boy. I think it's kind of funny that Jude can also see the demons, but only if she squints.
So, I thought that was so funny too. She's like, okay, I know they're there somewhere.
she's such a fucking mood. I love her so much.
I thought it was hilarious that Jude was able to be the, I guess, the more humorous one when she was the one who was going fucking through it.
Yeah. Oh my God. How'd you feel that we were reading a book about just women being there for women?
I was so excited. I mean, I was really into this story from the very beginning. Like, from that prologue, I was like, damn, the fuck is going on? So when they were becoming friends, I was so excited. I was so excited.
Dude, I know.
I was really happy about it.
Oh my gosh. I want to not just talk through about this story like bit through bit, because I want everyone to read it. So I'm just going to talk about like the main points.
Okay.
So after these three kind of come together to try to find the connection between all these women and what's happening, what they end up coming up with is that it has to be a man that's doing this. But then that doesn't make any sense, because men can't have
invocations. Can't, yeah, exactly. Men can't curse right. Men aren't witches.
I really like that part where they were like, what if it's a trans woman? And it's like, well, they don't look at the body, they look at the soul. And I was like, damn. And Zara was like, good point.
Yeah,
wrote that shit down.
Yeah, exactly.
But their first run-in with like evidence is going to this lady's house. I don't remember her name.
I think it was Vicky.
They go to Vicky's house because she went missing, and they noticed in the video of when one of the women were killed that he kind of blipped out of the scene for a bit, the killer, and then came back. And that's called the flicker, I think. And that was a curse that she had written for Vicky. So it was like, why is it her curse is being used?
So they were sure that the person they were looking for was Vicky.
I didn't want it to be her.
Oh, yeah.
I did not want it to be another woman. I wanted it to be a man.
I knew it was a man.
But
I was like, you bitches can't trick me.
Well, how did you feel
when this shit was a man?
How did you feel when they found Vicky?
I was sad for Vicky. Dude, I thought it was the husband.
I thought it was the husband too, but honestly, he just didn't care. It was like, yeah, my wife left me and I didn't bother to look.
I didn't bother to look because she's a lawyer and I'm just a bum. So, or was he the lawyer? I don't remember. One of them was a lawyer. And he just didn't care.
Hi, this is Editing Chelly. I just wanted to come in because we totally forgot to mention something that I wanted to mention. And it was when Zara, Emer, and Jude went to go ask Vicky's husband about Vicky. Zara actually had to play up like hating women in order to kind of bond with this man.
And that gave her the opportunity to snoop around his house, but she got caught hella quick. And this man, Vicky's husband, ended up pushing Zara against the wall and kind of spooking her and forcing her to leave. And when she does, there's this moment that the three girls share in the car where Zara just has like a breakdown. And instead of pushing Zara to like get over it or telling her everything's going to be okay, both Jude and Emer just let her feel her emotions. And y'all, like, this whole book has several moments where women are supporting women. But I think this one struck me most of all. And I know Yahaira, too, felt the exact same way because we talked about this. But it's so sad that all women kind of share this common fear of how men can act. And even because in this part of the book, they don't know each other that well. So even not knowing each other's background, all these three young ladies were still here for each other. And that meant the world to me. But okay, picking up where we left off, they're looking for Vicky and the husband don't know shit.
So
I fucking hate that shit. Mm-hmm. She was in a lake. Right?
She had drowned.
Been there for a while. Mm-hmm. And they noticed that where her invocation was, and an invocation is your connection to your demon. So it's a part of your flesh mm-hmm. that is marked with a tattoo that shows that you're connected to a demon. Mm-hmm. So remember, Jude has three of these. Mm-hmm. So they find
her. She has three, and they're fucked up.
They find Vicky, but her invocation is cut out. And they're like, why would the fuck would they cut it out? And I don't remember
it was obvious.
I don't remember the sequence of events, but I do remember that the first time they ever see the killer, it's described that it's just, you're looking at him. And then when Emer would look up and see all these demons, it was as if they were sewn together.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
That is
fucked up. And scary to imagine what that would look like.
So all of the invocations, which was the actual like flesh.
Yeah.
Part was sewn together, and it was scary when Emer would see the demons, because she would see them and it was like a whole lot of fucking demons that were mm-hmm. behind the culprit. And I don't know, like, I thought it was scary, and honestly I had no idea how they were gonna get this guy.
Yeah, because he was strong. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny though that after everything he did, and oh my god, how did you feel about the part that he would walk because he knew that was intimidating?
Typical man. Fucking bitch.
There was a line that I really liked. It's like, yeah, women were fearful when men would walk by, not because they had any weapons on them, only because they were literally a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so fucked up.
I feel like there were so many lines in this book that I felt were so perfect. Because that line itself, I was like, oh, that's so fucking true.
Mm-hmm. So when this killer comes, he's walking towards them and is trying to use like invocations against them. Oh, but the reason that they even crash into each other is because they need another invocation mm-hmm. in order to lure him in, because he's going to want to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking Jude is like, just put one of your curse on me. Like, give me one of your spells.
And he's like, what's another one, girl? I have three already.
And I was like, yeah, it's electricity. And she's like, electricity? Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. But isn't it when she uses it, like her fingertips char?
I think so.
Right? Like her skin chars up.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets it. And I really like this part because they write it the same way they wrote the beginning of the book,
mm-hmm.
which is like her walking by. And it's funny because she's over here trying to look like,
a damsel.
And she like touches the lake, and because she doesn't know how to use her spell, she kills all of the fish. So you see them all fly up.
That's so fucking sad.
Zara's like, what the fuck are you doing?
She's like, I don't fucking know. I'm sorry I didn't practice this.
So yeah.
But yeah, so they wanted to trap the killer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
they
didn't really work.
Weren't able to, but Zara was able to stab him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a part where Emer and him looked at each other face to face. And I think Emer was the only person that looked at him, right?
I think so, yeah.
And she was angry because, like, this is literally a boy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a scary old man. It's just a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's like that whole thing too. After that, they're like, we need more information. Why don't we go to the source of a lot of like help? Why don't we go visit Emer's family? Mm-hmm. And when they go over there, everyone's like fucking dead, right?
No, so Emer's family, she had already lost her family
a long time ago.
Yeah, she lost her family a very long time ago because there was like these like witch hunters who showed up, and it was really sad because Emer was living her best life in like a secluded cabin mm-hmm. with all of her family, and yes, they were witches, but they were not hurting anybody. Like, they were just chilling there, and these hunters just showed up out of nowhere and killed everybody, wiped her whole fucking family out. Yeah. And the only reason why she survived, I think it was because her mother, her grandmother, who kind of would like push her up on top of the house, I think. Yeah. And like had her climb a tree or something. I don't remember, but she escaped basically. And when she turned around, she realized that one of her cousins knew somebody there. And she was like hella pregnant. And yeah. She was just like, what the fuck, babe? And then he killed her.
Dude.
So that's how they were found out, because somebody basically tricked the cousin.
So then when they were in her house again, this untouched house.
Yeah, because she wasn't living there. Mm-mm. She just wanted to go there as like a sanctuary.
Yes, but all three of them ended up going.
Yes.
And they found a necromancy book. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Zara's like, oh.
Necromancy, that's so interesting. Crazy.
Can I actually keep that one?
She just puts it in her bag.
Rosie was the name of the cousin, right?
The pregnant one?
Yeah.
I think so. I don't remember her name.
But I know that this cousin, she was buried nearby, and it had been like years since she had passed. Mm-hmm. So Zara's idea was like, why don't we ask her who the killer is, if she recognized the killer? Mm-hmm. And if for some reason it's not her when she comes back, then we kill her.
Yeah.
And so...
And I feel like Emer at first was like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I hated when Emer, like, she obviously didn't want to do it, and they were just both kind of like, well, what do we have to lose? It's like, just, you don't have to relive your family dying. I do.
Yeah. Oh, but gosh. It's like, just do it, Emer, it's fine,
just do it.
And so they do it. How did you feel about this?
Oh my god, they needed so much blood. Mm-hmm. And they had to use old blood from what I remember. Mm-hmm. It was crazy because the way it was described was because the body had already decomposed, they just had to kind of put everything together.
Yeah.
Like puzzle piece it together. And when it came back, it wasn't her. You know, mm-hmm. It was obviously something else, the demon, just mm-hmm. in the body of her mm-hmm. her cousin. Oh, it was so hard to read.
But they were didn't they give her like a word? Was that her or was that someone else?
What do you mean a word? Like she said a word?
Like she was saying one word, wasn't she?
Volokov?
Something like that, right?
Yeah. Because they asked her, like, who killed you? And she said Volokov over and over again. And
yeah. She tried but writing out. But she was being violent also. So they were like, okay, good to know. But
I think they had to end up burning her. Mm-hmm. And it was very horrible because she, Emer mentioned that she had heard the screams of her cousin dying again.
That's so sad. I know. Emer has been through hell.
Emer's been through it this whole book.
Seriously.
And I feel like she kept going through it. Mm-hmm. But she was so, out of all three of them, I felt like she was the most calm and collected.
Yeah.
When things got shitty. After they figure out that this person's name is Volokov, I don't remember how they start looking up this dude named Dickie. Do you remember that?
Wasn't it one of Jude's contacts? Didn't she have someone who would
a PI.
Yeah. And he was like, here, look into this person.
And it was funny because they could have taken this shit any way they wanted to, but they were like, nah, Zara, you're gonna go on a date with him, bring up that you like Sabrina the Teenage Witch
and see if he shudders a little bit.
Dude, I fucking hate that everything they said that was gonna work ended up working.
I thought it was funny though.
Zara was over here just kind of like letting this man talk, because mm-hmm. she honestly didn't have to do much for him to spill everything.
Yeah.
But how did you feel about the fact that these witch hunters do it because they're trying to save the witches?
Girl, I was fucking pissed because he framed it in a okay, because first of all, Dickie, it's like this whole fucking cult, okay? Yeah. That's what it is. And so he was telling Zara, oh, well, you know, it's because these witches, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're messing with. Mm. They shouldn't be the ones who have all of this power because it's a man who can really, like, save the world kind of vibe. I don't know. Like, he was, like, thinking, like, holier than thou kind of vibe. And he thinks that he's saving these women.
Yep.
And because she, I think she brought up a good point that was like, well, what if they're too young and they just like get involved in this life, you know? Like, what about them?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, I'm doing them a favor, you know? Hunting is a lifestyle, babe.
I really liked the line. And I think it's set at this part. The one that was like, even demons know that men are never, like, they never stick to their word. That's why that men can't have invocations.
Fucking love that shit. Yeah, they would know that.
Oh, that's so, and I think at this point, Jude also says, like, it's not the men's fault. It's the society that has made men think they have to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep.
Built by men. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Dickie was so fucking annoying, but he gave away, like, you want to join this little group of men we have? We need women. So just tell him Dickie sent you.
Tell him the Dickster sent you.
The Dickster sent you. Big Dick.
I thought it was Lil Dickie.
Lil Dickie.
I thought it was so fucking funny when she was like, oh, are there any women? No, but we're looking. We're looking. Nice. We're out here looking.
Oh, my God. This gives the same vibe as men who are like, alpha, you know what I mean? It's like, no, we only
the guys of the podcast that don't need podcasts.
Yeah. Oh my God, I fucking can't with that shit. It's like, no, we would marry. It's just women out here hoeing it up, and it's like,
just
no, they're living their best lives. I hate that shit.
I hate the one where the notion of like, oh, well, women, guys can cheat, but women can't because women get emotionally involved, but men only get physically involved, and one's worse than the other, and that's why it's not fair.
And these are the same men that if you were to break up with them, they're calling back crying.
I literally, like, please, I didn't mean to cheat on you.
Please.
That was so fucking pathetic. Anyway, back to the story.
So Lil Dicky gives
the singer.
The singer. One of my professors was like, Little Richard? And I'm like, yes, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So Lil Dicky is like, hey, go to this place. And so Zara goes back into the car with Jude and Emer, and it's like, he gave me locations that I need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jude was like,
but she didn't want to go. What? No. Was this the moment when she was like, oh, but I got to go home though?
No. So Zara wanted to go, but Jude had to go to a wedding. And Emer was like, why are you going to go to your family's wedding? I know your dad invited you, but they fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, it's my family.
Yeah.
And Jude says, like, because Emer is like, come on, we have our lead. We can't just wait on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jude was like, well, I'm trying to fix my family relationships. Not like you would know anything about that.
It's like, ouch.
And it sucks because every character has noticed how much Jude and Emer like each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're so obviously crushing for each other.
Yeah.
And this part hurt me a lot.
It hurt me too because I thought they were really, really cute together.
Yeah.
And I mean, I felt bad for Jude because Jude felt alone. Mm-hmm. Because her family kind of just like pushed her away and forgot about her. And then I think it was her brother, Adam, the one that almost adopted her, who showed up one day and was like, hey, wedding, please come. I would love to see you there.
No, it was the dad who did that. The dad came over and said, you should please come. But
that's confusing.
No, but to be fair, she was completely covered up. Mm. She had a t-shirt on. You know what I mean? So she goes to this party with Zara. And Emer's like, okay, fuck you guys. I'm going to go follow our lead.
Well, she shows up with Zara because Zara went to go dig up her sister, remember?
That was so fucking scary.
That was so scary. So she digs up her sister and she tells Jude, hey. She's
been dead, by the way, for a year.
Yeah, and she tells Jude, I want to bring her back because I want to tell her that I'm sorry. Because the last conversation they had a fight. Or she said something mean to her or something. And so Jude's kind of like, that's crazy. but all right. I mean, we do have this like bunker, and there's actually blood in there. That's crazy. So she kind of just lets her go downstairs.
And it's crazy to me because she doesn't want to look at her sister until she gets into that bunker by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And when she opens up, because they had put her in fetal position in a luggage, when she opens up to look at her sister, the descriptions are like top tier, but damn, I was like, I don't want to fucking hear about this shit. But she puts her sister down and starts the process and says the incantations, puts the blood in her mouth, and just watches. And she's just sitting there for a very long time and nothing is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So now cut back to Jude. Jude's at this party and she goes up to her dad, I believe. And her dad's like, why the fuck are you here?
Yeah.
And it's like, you wanted me to be here. And then he like throws her to the floor, I think. And all the brothers are kind of like, what the fuck?
Well, because the dad's really frantic. He's like, I didn't want you to be here. That's why I feel like it's weird that he invited her. That's why I thought it was Adam, but whatever. He's like, I didn't want you to be here. Please leave. And she's just like shocked, confused. Like, what the hell is going on?
And Adam like looks at Jude and is like, it's probably because of that tattoo you have. You know, mom had a tattoo just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, holy shit, what? So then we go back to Emer, who's breaking into this
wait, I don't think we've mentioned it, but Jude's mom passed away a long time ago.
Yes. So we go back to Emer and she broke into this club and they think she's a waiter, from what I remember.
She broke into a house.
Oh, you're right. And the club was at a house.
But yeah, they thought that she was a waiter and she was kind of just like trying to blend in for a minute and trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
So then when she's in there, they start talking about the Volokhov and she's like, she sees someone and recognizes them as the person who killed her family.
Mm-hmm.
But then they make the connection like Volokhov means wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And wolf is the surname of Jude's family.
Yeah.
So it turns out that Jude's brothers and dad are the ones who killed
her whole family. Yeah.
And it's fucking did you see this twist coming?
No. I did not see this twist coming.
Sorry babe,
I didn't mean for it to happen. I had no idea where this was going. I mean, I had an idea that if anybody, it would probably be Adam.
Yeah,
because he was the most like he seemed like he was the most important and like the calmest, but I had a feeling. I was like, there's no fucking way.
Do you think that all of this could have been solved sooner if fucking Jude would have just looked at the address that Zara got and was like, hey, that's my house?
That would have been too easy.
Zara, by the way, fucking whole reanimated ass sister, who is like, not, she's able to speak, but she's not her sister.
Yeah,
it is not her at all. And then her sister starts like freaking out because she wants to leave the room and it's like, no, it's a pin pad, I don't know the lock, I can't let you out. And so then the reanimated sister, her name is Sarah, right?
I thought it was Hannah.
Yeah, it's Hannah.
Is it?
So she starts mimicking like the motion of doing a pin pad lock.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, Zara's like, that was weird. And then she does it again, and so Zara does the same motions and it unlocks. And she was like, weird. It's as if she's been in here.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention this, but her sister's invocation, the curse that she wanted, was to be able to
find anything that she wanted to find.
Yes. Right? That was hers?
Something like that.
Why was that hers again? What did she want from that? There was a reason. Oh,
I don't remember.
That wasn't hers. Wasn't hers blipping out of parts? And then Rosie's was finding anything she wanted to find.
No, because then why?
Because didn't Adam...
Hold on, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Now it's just me and you talking. I just know that there was several invocation spells that were wanted by these brothers.
Yeah.
So what we learn, and now all of our three characters are slowly ending up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And Zara's reanimated zombie-like sister is fucking running on all fours trying to get to this place. So what we learn through Jude's family, because she's brought to the middle of a room.
And I think they're in a cage too.
And all of her cousins and her brothers and her dad are there. And the only one who's not there is Elijah because he left early, the cool brother. And so, or he left early, but he's upstairs. So they basically tell her that they're witch hunters because they want to save everyone. And the mom didn't die from an accident. They killed her because they wanted to save her. But they felt really bad and they wanted to make sure that the family all like atoned for her sins. So when she died, they put a little bit of blood in everyone's mouth, even in baby Jude's mouth, so that like she would be okay. So they were just very disappointed that Jude would end up in this life. And they were going to kill her in order to get her out of this life.
Because they were saving her. They were That's so sweet.
And Adam seemed like he was the main guy.
I wish I would have looked at this part again. But wasn't the dad not that evil, though? Because I could have sworn he was like, that's why I didn't want you to come.
Yeah, that the Adam had mentioned it makes sense why dad wanted to hide you. Because he knew what was going to happen when we found you. But he couldn't, he can't deny the inevitable, basically.
And because I don't think the dad was there, though.
No, he probably wasn't. I don't think he was either. Oh, no, because he had walked out with his wife.
Yeah.
He walked out. And then this whole place went on lockdown. So this is an inescapable place. We also learn at this point that Adam had actually, like, won over Emer's cousin, the one that they had brought back and was pregnant.
Rosie. It's because he had met her. And then I think she was just so tired of being isolated in this cabin that she immediately like trusted him and told him everything about her family. And then he was like, wow, what are the odds? What are the odds? And he was like, I gotta save this girl.
And then he killed her while she was pregnant. But it was like, but you don't get it. I loved her a lot, though. I did that out of love.
Yeah, I saved her. She's welcome.
Dude, these men in this book
piss me the fuck off.
Hell no. So it's funny because Emer and Jude, I think, are together in this cage. And they're about to be killed. And it's like, holy shit, what's happening? And you just hear Zara's sister fucking running on all fours.
Growling and shit.
And she just fucking kills everyone. And it's a bloodbath. And Zara's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I hope you guys weren't that close.
It's funny because there's a part where they're trying to trap the sister. So Zara and Emer are like, okay, Jude, you're going to stand by the cage. She's going to run in, but you move and then you get out, because she's going to run and hit the end of the cage. And they try that and it doesn't work. So Zara's sister bites off two of Jude's fingers. And it's funny because Jude's like, your zombie sister ate my finger.
Oh, my God.
But she runs.
Poor Jude, man. She was just going through it.
I thought it was funny because there's one line where she looks at Emer and is like, hey, we're kind of the same. And your note there was like, aw, kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits. Oh, yeah.
I
wish I could see my notes. I feel like I was just like writing random shit. Dude,
you were so funny. I was very sad with the last plot twist.
I was sad too, but I fucking knew there had to be something else.
So who is the main killer? Who is the big bad?
Of course it would be Elijah, the one who you least suspect, because he was tired of not being part of the boys club. You know what? He can kill witches too.
Yep.
And he was kind of boasting about it. He was like, well, look at everything that I was able to do. I'm way more powerful than all of the other siblings.
And there's a part, I think, where he takes off his shirt and you can see that, and the invocations that were cut out of all these women, he would cut that part of flesh out of him and put their flesh in there. So he was just kind of a sewn up person.
It's disgusting.
But there's like this huge fight between, well, it's because there's all this going on, but we learn through the story that it's possible to get rid of an invocation if you die. And someone had brought up to them, if Jude were to die, and be brought back, all of the demons that are connected to her would leave her.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, they were like, he's after my invocations. So what if I just die?
Mm-hmm.
And we give him mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was to like overpower him, right?
Something like that.
And so she's already really hurt. So they're just supposed to let her die. I think they drowned her, right?
I don't remember how
they did it. But I remember that Zara was like, hey, I know CPR. And it's kind of dark because the only time she's ever done CPR was on her already dead sister.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill Jude and then they bring her back. But by doing this, her invocation was gone. And I think Emer, because they cut out her invocations as
Didn't
well.
Didn't she use the lightning on her or the...
Emer had to cut out a piece of her flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And connect Jude's flesh onto her in order to use the lightning.
Yeah.
To kill.
No, to bring her back.
Oh, yeah. To bring her back.
Yeah.
And then I think, how does Elijah die?
Too many invocations. Not strong enough.
I get it.
I don't remember how he died.
I remember his death was kind of lame.
Yeah. It was kind of quick, right?
Yeah. I think it was lame. And it was kind of brought up like, oh, that's kind of fucking it. But it was so fucking much. And it's funny because this book basically ends like all of this fucking climactic shit. They take Jude to the hospital and then it's just the three girls talking to the detective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so what happened? And they were like, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I kind of blacked out.
Yeah, crazy. And it's like, but you three walked in there and are the only three that came out alive. Like, something must have happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, it went on lockdown and yeah. I think a fire broke out. I'm not quite sure. It's mm-hmm. kind of crazy.
So Jude goes to the hospital and all three of them are... No, well, she's asleep. And Zara and Emer are sitting together. And Emer's like, I guess this is it.
That was fun. It was really sad because this was the first time that Emer had like a...
Family.
And she felt sad that the girls were gonna, that they were all gonna go their separate ways.
Dude, I fucking was so teary-eyed at this part. But the part that fucking broke me was after Emer left, because she was like, okay, I guess I'm going back home. Really nice knowing you, Zara. And she didn't go say bye to Jude.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left and Zara was like, well, there's no one in my life. Like, there's no one who cares about me. And she puts her hands in her pocket and realizes that that little paper that the principal had gave her was still in there.
Yeah.
And it was a school day. Mm-hmm. And the principal came
mm-hmm.
immediately and just hugged her and was like, everything's okay. And for the first time, Zara was like, and I knew she was telling the truth.
That was so sad.
I fucking, because like reading these types of books when there's so much shit going on that is so out of the ordinary, you sometimes forget that they're just teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 17, that's so young.
Yeah.
You don't know the world then, and they were doing so much shit that honestly can cause so much fucking trauma. She had to bring back her sister and see her sister go away again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so much shit on her, and the fact that the principal didn't question it and was just like, I'm here for you, it's totally okay.
I'm glad that she had somebody who was there for her. Oh, because when she lost her sister, all she had was her fucking uncle.
Yeah.
I remember when the uncle was like, well, just be grateful that I'm not one of those kinds of uncles who would like push the boundaries.
That's so disgusting.
It is disgusting.
But Zara...
she didn't talk to him anymore though. Like after, like before meeting the girl, she kind of just left and was like, bye.
I think in the epilogue, it's in Emer's perspective, but we figure out that Zara and Jude moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're planning to go to college together from what Emer knows. And Emer's like, I wonder how they are. Like, I wonder if after all this time they like became a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So they,
Jude was so freaking flirty.
Yep. So Zara and Jude come to visit Emer
in the cabin.
And it sounds like no time has passed.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a sweet thing. Oh, we didn't mention the biggest thing. The way that they beat Elijah was because Emer had to give her body up to her demon. Oh, but the ball? Demon didn't kill her.
Yeah.
Because it was like, no, there is so many issues out here in the demon realm. We want you to help us. We want you to hunt these people who are hunting witches.
Mm-hmm.
So that became Ymir's like life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So she's over here setting up her home as like kind of like a base, like her space.
Mm-hmm.
And Jude and Zara come. And I really like this part because it's just really cute moments. And then Ymir's like, I really wanted to kiss Jude then, but no, it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Then here's the second time I really wanted to kiss Jude, but it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zara and Jude end up like excusing themselves. It's been all summer. They excuse themselves and they're like saying bye and they close the door. And Ymir's like, well, that's that. And then she hears.
I mean, she's sad though.
She's sad, but you know, she's not going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she hears a knock on the door and she opens it and it's Jude. And Jude's like, what if I just don't leave?
Yeah.
What if I just stay here?
Would it be so wrong if I stayed around here?
And then they kiss.
You're definitely out of the frame.
Love wins. I'm so fucking happy. I thought they weren't going to do it.
I thought they weren't going to make it either.
Oh my gosh. Dude.
It was such a good book.
Dude, I'm so fucking here. I've never realized that a lot of the books we read, controversially enough, all men.
What do you mean?
It's usually men.
What do you mean?
So many fucking men. I don't want to look at another man right now. Because this book, all of its fucking protagonists and side characters, all just women able to do shit themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is all I need.
Yeah, and it was amazing, and it made me really happy.
I know. Oh my gosh. And I like that they framed it that it's not all men, it's men who think like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Which happened to be all of them.
Which happened to be all of Jude's fucking family. Except her dad.
Yeah.
Because her dad did visit her.
And he was kind of redeemed because it was just like, I just wanted to protect you from them. Because they were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But all my sons are Eden now. And it's just you and me.
Just you and me, girl. Ooh, up top.
She's all fucking still broken bones. Where are your fingers at?
Ooh. Mm. Without your fingers. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I can't accept you in the family. Dude, I was so fucking here for this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I guess I didn't think about it in that perspective. Because these men were on a whole fucking different level.
Yep.
These are the kind of men that we actually deal with IRL.
Dude, it's so fucking much.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that it was also her family.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fucking trust any men out here.
I know.
Any of them. Oh my God. Dude, also, we didn't say this enough. The fucking humor in these books, in this book.
It was really good.
So fucking good.
I wish I would have written something down, but trust me, go read it. It was funny.
So funny. Mm-hmm. Our funniest character was Jude, like hands down.
Yeah,
she was so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she didn't take shit seriously ever.
No, and I just kind of like the idea that she got herself into this shit because she was just a bored rich girl.
But also, don't you remember she wrote on a little piece of paper? Because her wish that she was asking for was for her dad to love her.
Also sad.
And for some reason, I feel like it backfired to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was already true. That's how I assumed
it. Yeah. I was right? Like, he did love you.
Yeah, you just didn't realize it. But mm-hmm. He also wasn't great at showing it with all that fucking witch hunter shit going on in their home.
So he was just another basic man. Damn.
Who was your favorite girl?
That's so hard because I loved all of them. I would say probably Jude or Ymir.
Mine was either Ymir or Zara.
Yeah.
I fucking love Jude, though.
I thought Jude was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt really bad for her because she just wanted some love around here.
Yeah,
and no bitch wanted to love her.
For real, no bitches out here. She respected fucking everyone. I thought it was funny. The detective mm-hmm. that she would go to see these bodies.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I'll tell you where this is, Jude, but you have to stop flirting with me. And she was like, oh. It's a tough one.
It's going to be a hard one.
And it's funny because she started and it's like, what did I say? And it's like, oh, fuck.
I'm sorry. That's just part of my personality.
But then at the end, I think the detective kind of, not flirts back, but is like nice. It could come off as a flirt. And Jude was like, I knew you loved me. I knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just happy that they made it, you know?
Yeah.
All three of the girlies, they made it. They survived.
And I was so scared because I was like, fuck, Zara. Because I knew that they weren't going to be able to bring back the sister. Like, yeah, at least not.
Of course.
But I just didn't want Zara to go through that heartbreak. But honestly, took it like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
She got what she wanted, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it helped seeing how her sister wasn't really there anymore.
It was a good way to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of all three of the characters, the reason I liked her more is because I don't want to say I could relate. I wouldn't fucking do necromancy.
Mm-hmm.
But I could really sympathize with her because all she wanted was her sister back. It was like such a simple thing that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like at the end when her, because she explains it to the principal. And the principal's like, I believe you believe this is real.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that you are such an incredible and capable person. And you are saying you did nothing, but you wanted to do necromancy and you did that shit.
So keep slaying, queen.
Keep slaying. And also come to class, please.
I thought that was cute, though, that the principal was really supportive of her.
That shit made me cry. Oh, my God.
I get it.
It's so good.
It was really good.
What did you give this book?
Girl, 5 out of 5. It was
Knew it. Me too. I would recommend this. I've already recommended this to a few people.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's such a good book.
Well, tell them to buy their own copy, though.
I know. Well, now my sister has it.
Well, tell your sister I need it back. I want to put it in like a shadow frame and just like hang it up somewhere.
I love that. Well, whenever we get a permanent filming space, it would be nice to display the books that people give for us to read on the podcast.
Oh, that would be so cute. Yeah. Just the one.
Just the one. It's a huge frame in one book. I fucking love it, though. And like you said, we take recommendations very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So if people recommend a book, then we are most likely to read it.
Yeah. I mean, we've changed our schedule a couple times because of recommendations that we've received.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say it's because we're mood readers. That too. Do you have anything else to say about this book?
I just want to say that I really appreciated her writing.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Crystal?
Crystal Sutherland.
Crystal Sutherland. For my first book of hers, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. And I don't know, like, it was really easy for me to follow, and it makes me really want to read her other book. But we're not going to make any promises, because anytime you and I say we're going to read a book, I don't know what it is, but we're just like,
never get through.
Never mind.
It's because we're mood readers. Literally, we have a list that both you and I share in the notes app, and that list literally changes every single fucking day.
Every week, but close enough.
But that being said, for anyone listening to us in podcast form, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or anywhere you get your podcasts on, thank you so much. If you can leave a rating of 5 stars and a review recommending us our next read, that would be amazing. If they want to support us and they have a little bit of money, what can they do?
We have a Patreon, and right now it really just serves as a way for our listeners to let us know that you really enjoy.
Ew!
Ew! Let me do that again.
Sorry, I'm trying to take a picture of us. Cute.
Oh, you look so cute. But right now it really just serves as a way for our listeners to let us know that you really enjoy our content. I mean, we do post twice a week. That's a lot of books that we're reviewing. And if you just want to show that you appreciate us, one way could be through our Patreon. You can find us on patreon.com/bookfix. But if you don't want the commitment of monthly, you can find us on Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/thebookfix. Or buymeacoffee.com/thebookfix.
If you are watching us on YouTube, thank you so much. If you can like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, because we post every Tuesday and Thursday. If you want to support us on social media, we do have an Instagram and a Threads at thebookfixpod, TheBookFixPod. We also have a TikTok and a Goodreads at The Book Fix, TheBookFix.
Please follow us on Goodreads. We want to at least have like at least 5 followers by the end of the year. That would be amazing. That's pushing it.
That would be an increase of 500%.
It won't be, but please, guys, we're really trying.
Why don't we read reviews about this book? You want to read a positive?
Yes.
And I'll read a negative. This person, Erin, gave it a 1 out of 5 and wrote, "Hello, this writing fucking sucks. Both the fact that it's in third point of view and the fact that it feels like I'm reading fan fiction and not actual literature."
This comes from Tori. They gave it 5 out of 5 and they wrote, "Crystal Sutherland excels at writing characters in threes. Both House of Hollow and now The Invocations blew me away with the depth of the characters and the dynamic between the three girls with very different life circumstances. The creativity of this plot felt nothing like I've read before. Couldn't put it down. Love the super creepy moments throughout. I'd say it had medium pacing because we def got some downtime moments with our characters, which did so much to strengthen our bond to them. The ending was explosive. It did end a bit abruptly. However, I really enjoyed the ending, and where I'm not usually an epilogue person, I really liked this one."
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye. Now what? Now what do we do?
I don't know. You're making me nervous.
Oh my god, what do we do?
Let's just take a nap. What we've been trying to do all day.
Suddenly I'm not sleepy anymore.
Okay, like 10 more then.
Let's just film like 10 more videos. What's another 10?
What if we just read right now and just hand it out? You're making me nervous again.
Suddenly I'm sleepy again.